I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. It is John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit and in this way prove that you are my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, in his book, The God We Can Know, the Reverend Rob Fuquay tells a story about the first move that he and his wife made as a married couple. They'd been married about a year when he discovered that he was going to be reappointed as what happens to We United Methodist pastors. But the church they were being appointed to, unlike most churches of that time, didn't have a parsonage form. And so they got to not only make their first move, they got to buy their first house. You want to talk about a recipe for divorce? Well, they were in Matthew, North Carolina. And that November, there was a cold snap that wouldn't stop. That's nothing new for we Kansans, but in North Carolina, November, that's jaw-dropping news. And it was not only bad news for them, the fact that although they were living in a brand new house with all brand new appliances, the furnace wouldn't work. His wife tried everything she knew to get it to turn on. Finally, she gave up, called him at the church, and admitted that she was not having any success. Now, not taking into consideration the fact that this woman had just spent several hours trying to solve the problem, and the fact that she was now sitting in a very cold house, he received her news, and his reply was, "Well, it's simple. Just go turn the thermostat to on." His advice is never to say the words, "It's simple," when your spouse has just spent hours trying to solve a problem. After a long and stony silence, she said, "I already did that." And not learning from his first mistake, he shot back, "Well, find the reset button and push it." After another equally long and irritated silence, she said, "I already tried that. Why don't you just come home and figure it out? Obviously, I can't." 30 minutes later, he pulled into the driveway, got out of the car, walked in that house, and in his words, like Captain America, he strolled over to the utility closet, opened the door, stood in front of the furnace, and there wasn't a reset button. So he got the flashlight, and he looked all around the furnace. He looked in the back of it, and he couldn't find anything. So he decided that they had blown a fuse. He went off to find the box and reset the breaker, and as he walked past her, she said, "Maybe you should call the furnace repair people." have any of you wives ever suggested to your husband that he should read the instructions or call the expert? It's just about as helpful as telling your wife to turn the furnace on. He wasn't pleased with her, but after 45 more minutes of trying and some rather intense glaring, he finally conceded and called the experts. When the repairman arrived, he went into the utility closet. He looked the furnace over, and he looked up at the wall. He reached up and he flipped what appeared to be a light switch, and the furnace came on. He smiled and said, "Well, that should take care of your problem." And he started to fill out the paperwork. The now very frustrated and no doubt embarrassed man of the house responded, "Who ever heard of a furnace having an unmarked switch on the wall?" The repairman smiled, handed him the bill, and said, "Well, I guess you have now." Reverend Fuquay then goes on to say that all the power they needed to heat a 2,000 square foot home on a freezing day was an arm's reach away, and they sat in the cold. He then asks, "Have you ever had that experience? Ever been really close to the source of power but felt cut off from it?" If we're honest, most of us would have to admit that that's how we feel about our spiritual lives. It's not that we don't believe. It's not that we don't have faith, but we do. And at least at some level, we try to be spiritual. We come to worship. We may take time to pray during the week or study the scriptures. How many of us participate in the outreach programs of the church? And yet, despite all of our efforts, we somehow or the other just feel disconnected from God. We feel like there's just something in our lives that's not quite right. It's not working. So would it be helpful to know that Jesus understands how this can and often does happen to us? You know, he spent 3 years teaching his disciples all they needed to know to carry on the ministry when he was not with them. When he would no longer be the one performing the miracles, teaching the multitudes, giving the needy what they need, and challenging the comfortable, he wanted them to be able to carry on, to do the work that he had been doing. And yet, despite his best efforts, they still didn't get it. They were still too willing to just follow him around and watch him do the work and applaud his efforts. But in today's gospel lesson, it was only a matter of time before he would be arrested, tried, and crucified. He knew that death would not have the final word, that there would be a resurrection, but he also knew that after that resurrection, nothing would be the same again. He would not be able to connect with them in the same way as he did when he was fully human. But even though things would change, even though they would have some questions about their abilities and sometimes question their faith, he wanted them to understand that they weren't going to be left alone. In those last few hours, as his time with them grew short, Jesus was grasping for a way to help them understand. He wanted to reassure them that while things were changing, he would be there. They could still rely on the strength. They could still receive his guidance if only they trusted and believed. And so just actually moments before they went to the garden where he would be arrested, he looked at them and he said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you." Now for those of us who know something about cattle, corn, and wheat, but absolutely nothing about grapes, berries, and vines, we may not be able to grasp the importance of what Jesus was trying to say. But the disciples, they understood exactly what he was saying. You see, grapevines are virtually indestructible. If you simply pull them up, they'll grow back. And that is what Jesus wanted them to understand. He wanted them to remember that despite the fact that he was about to leave them, if he was about to be crucified, it wouldn't be the end of the story. He would still be there. All they had to do was stay connected to the vine, and God would give them all the power that they needed to carry out the ministry that he had begun. They would have to continue loving and serving and believing. But it wouldn't be impossible because they were connected to God. They were connected through their memories. They were connected through the teachings. They were connected through everything they saw. They were connected through their belief that he was the Son. Like the disciples, we have an important decision to make. If we want to stay connected to Christ, if we want to be spiritually alive with a power that can only come from God, we have to be willing to change the focus of our lives. And that will require two major changes in our thinking and the way we live. First, we have to get rid of all those things in our lives that take up so much of our time. Those things that control the way we think and the way we respond to others. Do any of you live out of a deep-seated regret for things that have happened in your past? Do you ever look at coworkers or even your own siblings and wish that somehow or the other you were more like them? Have you ever wished that you had what someone else did? Or maybe you're angry over something that happened. It could have been decades ago. But whenever you think of it, begins to control your mind. These are the branches that are good for absolutely nothing. The only thing they do is suck the life out of the branch. As hard as it is, as difficult as it may be, those are the things we need to let go of. The things we need to give to God. We have to quit trying to make sense out of things that don't make sense. We have to stop controlling things that we can't control. We have to stop looking at the world and thinking we don't have enough. We have to just get rid of it all. And the second thing we need to do after our pruning is that those things that dominated our thoughts and controlled our behavior, well, if we let go of them, it frees up time for us to do something else. It gives us new energy to approach something else. If we let go of the things that distract us, then we can focus on Christ and Christ alone. Now, this doesn't mean that we become holier than thou. And it doesn't mean that whenever we're facing a problem or someone else is, that we quote all kinds of scriptures like they're going to cure their problem right away, because there is no scripture that will cure our problems right away. When we focus on Christ, it means that we're intentional about the way we use our time, our resources, and our energy. There can no longer be a disconnect between who we are in here and who we are out there. Our lives aren't separated between worship and real life. They are both the same. They both allow Christ to dominate our thoughts and our actions. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we plan has to reflect our core beliefs in Christ. We have to stay connected all the time in all ways possible. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you." Well, Christians, are we ready to live like we believe it? Are we ready to be pruned? Are we ready to flip the switch? To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen.